He said, I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for reading the Word of God. We worship this morning, and what a great privilege it is to do that. As we were worshiping, that's what was running through my mind. What an awesome responsibility, but great privilege we have to come together and share the greatness of God and to share the grace of God. So we're thankful this morning for this great privilege. Let's bow our heads right now before we look into His Word. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, you have gathered this group of people. We thank you for the desire that you've placed in our hearts. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that would move us. And God, we rejoice in you through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've been reminded this morning of Him. So we thank you, give you glory. And Father, now come before you with expectation to how you, by your Spirit, will work in our hearts this morning through your Word. To you be glory. To you be thanksgiving. To you, God, may there be a response of humility in our lives today as we now come to you. You speak to us. Change us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin today by reviewing Jonah chapter 1. Think about what we've studied so far in our study of Jonah. Well, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry out against that great city. But if you'll remember, Jonah did not go east to Nineveh. He got on a boat in Joppa and he went west to Tarshish. And then God hurls this great storm against the ship where Jonah was a passenger. And when the prayers of the sailors prove useless, they awaken Jonah and they tell him to pray. And then they cast lots to see whose guilt brought the storm, and the lot fell on Jonah. And when they ask who he is, he says to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And when the sailors ask what might still the storm, Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea and the storm will be calm for you. Folks, it's a puzzle why Jonah was so willing to give his life for the unbelieving sailors, when a few days before, he was unwilling to help save an unbelieving city from the judgment of God. As I think about that, I've come to the conclusion, I think that his guilt and his shame was so great that he surrenders himself to the sentence of death. And so the sailors throw him overboard and the storm ceases. And the sailors worship God, and Jonah sinks in the water. What happens? Well, the first thing that happens is not the appearance of a great fish to swallow Jonah. Because before the fish comes, there's the cry of distress. And even though Jonah knows that he's guilty, and even though he knows that he deserves death for his disobedience, and even though he has surrendered his life to the justice of God, in that moment when death is imminent, Jonah remembers that the Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so Jonah cries out to the Lord for mercy. And then the fish that God appointed rescues Jonah. You see, the Lord had mercy on his prophet, and he saves him from the storm in the belly of the fish. Now, Jonah chapter 2 is what Jonah prayed from the belly of the fish. He recounts his cry of distress in the water. He lifts a voice of thanksgiving for his deliverance. So we step back and we ask ourselves, well, what can we learn from Jonah who's in the belly of the fish? Surely what he says in the fish's belly is important to him, and surely it should be important to us. So this morning, let's look now at Jonah chapter 2. There's much we can learn. The first thing we learn in Jonah chapter 2 is this, that God answers His children's cries of distress. Now folks, think about this. At least briefly, Jonah was conscious in the fish. He knew that God had saved him from drowning in the sea. And during a time of consciousness, Jonah prays to the Lord. Keep in mind that when Jonah refers to the distress, the affliction in this passage, he means the time that he spent in the water. You see, the water is the thread of death. The fish is the refuge of salvation. Look again now at verses 1 and 2, Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Folks, this is a simple statement that sums up what happened when Jonah sank in the water. He cried out to God, and God answered him by sending the fish. Now, I think there's a lot of encouragement there for us today. The main point is that God answers His children when they cry out to Him in distress. And the text that follows, the prayer that follows, gives us some specific truth on how and why God answers us. And so why, how does God answer us in our distress? Let me share with you seven truths in this prayer that will encourage us this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that God will answer us in spite of our guilt. Remember, folks, Jonah was not on his way to Nineveh when he was thrown into the sea. He was running from God. He was guilty of disobedience. That's why he's in the water. That's why he's sinking down in that storm in the water, because he had disobeyed God. There may be people here today who are in trouble because you've disobeyed God. And you're wondering to yourself this morning, is there any hope for me? I've disobeyed God. I've run from God. Will God hear me? Will God have mercy on me in my distress? I would say to you this morning, take heart in the cry of Jonah. His distress was the fruit of his guilt, but God answered him and God gave him another chance. And folks, this is not an isolated teaching in Scripture. Hold your place in Jonah and turn with me to Psalm 107. Turn to Psalm 107 and let's begin with verse 10. Psalm 107 and let's begin with verse 10. Notice what the psalmist writes. He says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. And therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. And look at this. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Brothers and sisters, if your disobedience is the cause of your distress, repent and cry out to the Lord. He will answer you in spite of your guilt. There's a second truth. We're back in Jonah chapter 2. God will answer us in spite of His judgment. Look at verse 3. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. Jonah says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me." Now, according to Jonah chapter 1, verse 15, it was the ship's crew who picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, but Jonah knows who threw him into the sea. Jonah knows it was God who was working in all of these things. Jonah had disobeyed God. Jonah went his own way, and surely God was angry with him, and God was correcting him, and God was bringing him back to Himself. And Jonah knew this. And I would suppose that nothing makes us despair in our distress like the thought that God put us there because He's angry with us. And I would suppose that most of us would say, if God put me in this terrible situation because He is displeased with me, then there is no use in crying out to God. There's no use to praying to God for help. But folks, Jonah prayed for deliverance from the very God who threw him into the water. And God, who threw him into the water, heard his prayer and performed a miracle to save him. You see, folks, even when God is displeased with us, our affliction is never just for the purpose of punishment. God's purpose is for repentance and redemption and salvation. You see, God's grace is at work in the midst of the affliction. And even if you think that the hand of God is against you in your distress, do not despair to call out upon Him, because He answers His children in spite of His own judgment. There's a third truth in this prayer. Notice that God will answer us in impossible circumstances. Verses 5 and 6 describe the extreme nature of Jonah's situation. Look what he says. "The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." Folks, think about it this morning. Wouldn't it indeed be a terrible thing to fall overboard from a ship and be left behind when the sea is calm? But how much worse to be thrown into a raging storm with huge waves and wind and going under so deep that you know that you will die. And even as you struggle to reach the surface, you hit a mass of seaweed and it tangles you. And it's a terrible situation. But folks, God let the circumstances become impossible before He delivered Jonah. The pride and the self-sufficiency and the self-dependence must be squeezed out of us. And God knows how to squeeze us, brothers and sisters. And He squeezed Jonah, and He squeezed Jonah in this storm. And Jonah is thrown into the midst of that storm. This happens in our lives. The difficulties and the troubles develop to the point that we say there is no way out. When that happens, we need to remember Jonah. You see, it was impossible with man, but not with God. How many times have I heard husbands and wives say, "Our marriage is impossible"? How many times have I heard people say, "My job is impossible. My supervisor is impossible"?
How many times have I heard people say in the face of death, their own death or the death of a loved one, I can't face this, I can't handle this, this is impossible. Folks, Jonah was in an impossible situation. And when we cry out to the Lord in our distress, He answers us and He delivers us from impossible situations. There's a fourth truth in this passage. Notice that God answers us at the right time. Verse 7 says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Now we would say Jonah's words something like this: "As I was losing consciousness, I remembered the Lord. When I was fading away, I remembered the Lord." You see, folks, God often answers our prayers at the last moment. We would say it this way: in the nick of time, God answers our prayers. Brings to mind the words of the prophet Habakkuk when he said, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear?" You see, in the midst of that affliction, in the midst of that trouble, we cry out to God and we continue to cry out to God. And sometimes in our doubt, we say, "Will God ever answer me? Will God ever provide for me?" And we continue to cry out to God. Jonah kept crying even as he faded into unconsciousness. He would cry out to God as long as he could, and God answers in His time. At the right time. Don't ever, ever give up in crying out to God. Call out to Him. Cry out to God. He will answer. There's a fifth truth in this prayer. Notice that God answers our cries of distress in stages, and not all are comfortable. See, we have to get out of our mind this morning that God's answers are all or nothing. See, we can be pretty sure this morning that Jonah did not cry out to God, "Put me in the belly of the fish." In the midst of that storm, Jonah did not pray, "Send me a fish so a fish can swallow me." He didn't pray that, but he surely cried, "Save me from the waters, O God. Help me in my time of trouble and distress." And notice that God's answer came in stages. Jonah was spared from drowning in the belly of the fish. The fish swallowed him. He was 3 days and three nights in the fish. And folks, that's not dry land. That's not Israel. That's not Nineveh. But Jonah recognized, even in the belly of the fish, that God had provided salvation, that God had saved him. So don't disregard the partial works of God. If He chooses to save and to heal by stages, He has His reasons, and we should be grateful for any mercy. And folks, a fish's belly is better than the bottom of the sea. God sometimes answers our cries of distress in stages. Notice number 6. God answers our cry of distress in order to get our undivided loyalty and thanksgiving. Now look with me at verses 8 and 9, because verses 8 and 9, the words of Jonah here, show how a prayer to God after deliverance should end. Look what he says. He says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the answer from God to Jonah's prayer has brought the right result in Jonah's life. It has filled Jonah with wonder that anyone would forsake the Lord and keep idols. And yet, make no mistake about it this morning, Jonah had his idols. How do we know that Jonah had his idols? Because he disobeyed God. He went his own way. He disregarded a direct command from God, and that means that something was more important to Jonah than God. Something was more important to Jonah than God's word and what God said to Jonah. Jonah had his idols. His own rule in his life would be his idol. We'll dig deeper into that as we continue our study. We have some specifics from the scripture. But God told Jonah that if you leave the Lord, this is what Jonah learned. If you leave the Lord, you leave mercy. Brothers and sisters, mark that down in your life. Mark it down in my life. If we leave the Lord, we leave mercy. Now, it doesn't mean that God is not abundant in mercy. God, by His own grace, can extend mercy to us. But Jonah is very clear. When I left the Lord, I left His mercy. And yet Jonah cried out to God, and God, by His grace, extended mercy to him. Notice that God has filled Jonah's mouth even with thanksgiving. Now, I want you to think about this. His heart and his mouth is filled with thanksgiving, and where is he? In a fish's belly. How can we say it? He has been eaten by a fish, and he lifts up his voice in thanksgiving. You see, that's evidence that God has worked in this prophet's heart. God used some pretty amazing things to do that. God will do the same in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that you should not go fishing. And I'm not saying that you should stay away from the ocean or from fishing rods or something like that. But God has His own way. We've said it before in the study. God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what will get our attention. God answers prayer so that thanksgiving will abound to His glory. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." You see, God answers us in our distress to get our undivided loyalty and to fill us with thanksgiving for His mercy. There's a seventh truth in this prayer. God answers us in our distress to help us become merciful like He is. Now, we need to think about the end of this book. We need to go ahead in our thinking, and you know how it ends. And yet, we need to think about the end of this book to understand this reason that God answers us. Because in Jonah chapter 3, Jonah is back on dry land, and God again sends him to Nineveh. And Jonah preaches judgment to the people of Nineveh. Next week when we look at the passage, I mean, it's astounding the message that he preached and the response of this city. And yet he did that. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them." In other words, the whole city repented. Look at verse 10. "And then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it." Folks, in the first three chapters, I want you to consider what's happened. Jonah disobeyed God, and God put him under the danger of destruction. And Jonah cries out to God in his distress, and God answers him and gives him a second chance. And brothers and sisters, the very same thing happened to the city of Nineveh. They disobeyed God, and God put them under the danger of destruction, and they cried out in their distress, and God answers them and gives them a second chance. In other words, God showed mercy to Jonah so that Jonah would show mercy to the people of Nineveh. Folks, the book of Jonah has a message that is loud and clear about God. God's mercy is not confined to His people. God's mercy is extended to any people who will trust Him and repent of their sin. And what that means is what saves us is not nationality, but God's grace through faith. And what saves us is not who we are, but who God is and what God does. And this is the great gospel message that comes from this Old Testament book of Jonah. But it's not the only message from the book of Jonah. Because if this is the way that God is, if God is a God of mercy and grace, then should not we be people of mercy and grace? If God is a God of mercy and grace, should not His people be people of mercy and grace? If the message of Jonah is that God gives grace to all, then the message of Jonah is that we should do the same. God answered Jonah's prayer of distress in great mercy so that Jonah could be merciful. And what Jonah experienced with God, Jonah could share with others. And brothers and sisters, we've been given the great privilege to do the same. You know, you can learn a lot in the midst of a storm. And you can learn a lot in the belly of a fish. I don't know what storm or what fish God has sent in your life, but you can cry out in your distress, and God is ready to answer. And He can answer in spite of our guilt. And He can answer in spite of His judgment. And He can answer in the midst of impossible situations. He can answer according to His own time. And He can answer in stages. And not all are comfortable. And He can answer to get our undivided loyalty and thanksgiving. And He can answer in great mercy so that we will be merciful. Are you in the storm? Are you facing the fish? Cry out to God. He wants to answer. Let's bow our heads. Father, You know our hearts right now. You know exactly what's happening in our lives. You know our past. You know our present. God, You know our future. And Father, You know without a shadow of a doubt the storms that are rolling through our lives right now. You know entirely the distress that we may be in. And You know the reasons. And yet, God, our hearts are blessed this morning when we think that Jonah cried out to You and You saved him. Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here today who does not know You, that they would cry out to You today for salvation. Father, I pray this morning that if there are those of Your people today who have disobeyed You, who have walked their own way, that today would be the day that they cry out to You. That they cry out for Your mercy. And God, we know that You are full of mercy and love and compassion. God, thank You for this grace. Father, we realize that so often in our lives, we realize that at no time do we deserve Your grace. And yet You give it to us freely. freely to us, but not free, because it cost a great price. The cost of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died as our substitute, who was raised from the dead. So, Father, thank you for your faithfulness toward us. And even now, in this group that is gathered this morning, God, we trust you to work in hearts right now. And may we respond to you, believe you, trust you, repent of our sin, and come to you in faith. Thank you for your work right now. To you be glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. 448 in your hymnals, please. 448. Let's stand as we sing. 448.